Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your faith then I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, I trust that you have discovered as a saved person that knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has given you a good life. Well, it goes further than that. He's given you a great life. He's given you eternal life, and that's something to be excited about because we have nothing to fear. The world can turn against us, which most of the time it is against us because many people do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, so mankind will be against us and what we believe and what we stand for. We can be of good cheer because Jesus Christ has overcome everything. He's overcome. He's even overcome death. He's overcome death and hell. He's overcome the grave. And we need to be rejoicing today as saved people because we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, we've been studying in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we've looked at about Christ ascending into heaven. We've looked how that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. I believe that he went into Abraham's bosom. This would have been the place where all the Old Testament saints, all those people saved during the Old Testament time, I believe this is where they would be. Christ would go there. And now you think of being underground. He went into the lower parts of the earth, the Bible tells us. And that's what verse 9 of Ephesians 4 says. But we need to keep in mind that this would not be a place of doom and gloom for those people in Abraham's bosom. This would be a place, I believe it would be fashioned somewhat like the Garden of Eden. I have in my mind, that could be entirely different, I'm sure. But I believe it was a place of beauty. I believe it was a place where people were being comforted because Luke chapter 16 says that Lazarus was being comforted. He was there. You remember the rich man was in hell and he lift up his eyes being in hell, and he was tormented in the flame. But Lazarus was being comforted in Abraham's bosom. The rich man could see Lazarus being comforted while he was in torments. And he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger, if only just to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch his tongue, because he was so tormented in that flame. But Abraham said, he told him, he said, you had your opportunity to receive what you needed in order to be with Lazarus, with me, being comforted. You had your opportunity while you were alive on the earth, but you refused. And so many people today refuse to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they can be in heaven one day if they would simply trust Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He ransomed us from the slave market of sin. He ransomed us from death. He paid the price, in other words. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift. It's a gift. And all of those who will trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they receive the gift of eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, as we look on in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, we're going to look at gifts for just a moment here. And the gifts mentioned in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to continue to look at some of those things. But the gifts mentioned here in Ephesians abide to the end until the church is complete and removed from the earth. In other words, the gifts are given for certain purposes for the church. And one of the main purposes, of course, if not the main purpose, is to help other people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, for people to be saved. Well, notice that the apostles are the apostles of the beginning. The apostles were at the beginning, the foundation of the church. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is the foundation, But the Lord used these apostles that we read about in the scriptures. He used these apostles as founding stones. In other words, that the church could grow thereby, that the church would be founded upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles, who were the building stones, if you would think of it that way, laid upon the foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Now, we think of some cults who are out there who are saying something different, totally different about who Jesus Christ was and who he is, and who apostles were and who they are today. Well, the apostles today are those who Jesus Christ appointed when he walked this earth. And also, we know that Paul the apostle was an apostle born out of time. In other words, Jesus Christ did approach him on the road to Damascus. And we know by studying and reading the Word of God that Paul the apostle was an apostle appointed by Jesus Christ. But when we think of this, we think today of something like the apostolate of Mormonism. In other words, they believe in apostles. But the apostolate of Mormonism and similar cults is an invention of the devil. Nowhere does it say that Paul, Peter, or John should have successors, nor any of the other apostles. And all who lay claim to the title of apostle in the church today are deceivers. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2 says this, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars." Even back when the book of Revelation was written by John the Apostle, of course, Jesus Christ, God, breathed these words. This is what God wanted in the book, in his book, the Bible. As John the Apostle was able to write these words down, to pen these words down, there were even those who said they were apostles even back then, and they were not apostles. We know, of course, that John was an apostle, that he was one who was penning down these words. But here in this verse, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars." The church today, the true church of God, needs to stand up against those people who are standing up and saying they are apostles, because they are false. They are not true to God. They are liars, because there are no apostles today, according to the Word of God. Now, as we study the Word of God, we see doctrines. We hear the word doctrine. But the doctrines, this would be the Gospels, the epistles of the apostles. These are in our possession as the supreme gifts. And we talk about gifts that God has given to the church. These are the supreme gifts, the Gospels, the epistles of the apostles. These are in our possession as the supreme gifts of the exalted Lord. They have been given to his body, the church. Now, we make up his body. And I believe the church today is visible. There is no such thing as an invisible church. Every person who names Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're walking this earth today. They are visible. And those people who name Jesus Christ need to belong to a visible local church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching local church that stands upon the doctrines, the Gospels, the epistles of the apostles. Those people need to be standing who are in that local church. They need to be standing upon the Word of God, teaching and preaching the Word of God. I believe there's a lot of erroneous teaching going around today, and it's being allowed by so-called churches who are not taking a stand against what God has said is sin, and what God says is false, and what God says. And these people are going around, they're trying to tell people they're something they're not, and churches are not standing up. They're afraid to say, "Thus saith the Lord, you are a liar if you claim to be something you're not." We need people who are really, these people need to have backbones for the Lord and stand up against the heresy, the things that are against God today. We need to stand up as the people of God, as the church of God, and tell people, "Thus saith the Lord." In other words, this is the way it is, because God has said this is the way it is in his book. We're to stand for the right, and not for the wrong. Well, the evangelist preaches the gospel. And notice the New Testament prophets are such who speak the message of God for the comfort and exhortation of God's people. The pastor and teacher in the local church proclaim the Word of God, giving comfort to the saved and the word of salvation to the lost. That's what it's all about. And members of the visible body of Christ are to be busy for the Lord, using the gifts God has given them. And unfortunately, many members of the body of Christ are not following God's admonition and, yes, command to use the gifts He bestows. Man, once again, many times puts his finger on things and turns things around and makes things that are right wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Man gets involved in something, and if man does not listen to the voice of God, if man, I'm speaking to a saved person, if that saved person does not listen to what God is saying, that saved person can get off track and start following something that is not true to the Word of God. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to stay close getting into His Word. We need to stay close by praying and talking to our Heavenly Father and asking Him to lead us and guide us into all truth, that we will be able to hear Him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But I fear that many people today in local churches are not serving the true God. They're serving the God of this world, knowingly or unknowingly. They're serving the God of this world instead of serving our Heavenly Father. You say, "Well, how are they serving the God of this world?" If you are not for God, you're against God. If you're not standing up for God, the things that He's written in His book, if we're not standing up for those things, then we are not of God if we're not standing up for Him. Now, I believe that there are people who are saved who's being used of the devil today because they're not standing up for God. All these people are not lost. There are some people who are saved who are not doing the things that God wants them to do. In other words, if you're not for God, you're against God. If you're not serving God, you're against God. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're against God. Now, once again, you can be saved, but if you're not doing as thus saith the Lord, then you are against your Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 12:11 once again says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." You have gifts today. The greatest gift that you have is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, why would God give gifts to the church? And we're talking about gifts that God has given us to be able to see the local church, the people of God grow. In other words, more and more people being saved. Well, why would God give gifts to the church, to individuals? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 says that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We need to stand on the Word of God. I want to see my church, my people, God says, I want to see them without blemish. I want them to stand for Me while living on the earth. I want them to serve Me, using what I've given them to be able to serve Me and to see more and more people saved, coming to a saving knowledge, God says, so that one day I can see them. Jesus says, I want to present each person to my Heavenly Father so that it will bring honor and glory to Him. Trust Him today as your Savior if you've never trusted Him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.